10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Thursday morning. And we head to our 102.5, The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports to the program. Charles, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you doing this morning?
Doing great, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Charles, Bill Belichick, the next head coach at North Carolina in college football. A few things on this. Number one, how surprised are you that he is making the jump to college football? Is this a reading of the tea leaves that perhaps no NFL job was coming for Belichick? How do you view this seismic moment, as some are calling it, as we just found out on the television, that has gone down in college football?
Well, to answer it with the latter first, I got no indications whatsoever that there was that there had been interest conveyed to him going into the next coaching cycle, at least not yet. And it's not like Bill told me that, but I reached out to a number of agents who rep, I think, a number of individuals who would have been on Bill's staff, you know, and they hadn't heard. It wasn't like, hey, make sure you're in the bullpen situation. I'm going to put a staff together if I get this job or that job. It was silent. And so when I think the UNC job, I think when it first broke, this idea of him going to UNC, everybody I talked to across the league was like, ah, it's leverage play, it's chess. He's basically just trying to push NFL teams to the table and let them know, hey, I'm going back to coaching, get it in gear, and let's start talking. I don't think there was any evidence that motivated anybody in the NFL to reach out to him and say, hey, you know, back channel it. Once this gets moving, you're going to be near the top of our candidate list. I think if that had happened, UNC probably this never comes together. But I do think it became real to people in the NFL the second you started to hear the idea of Stephen Belichick succeeding him and Bill basically setting up Stephen for a head coaching job at UNC. Everyone's known for as long as Stephen has been part of Bill's staffs, Bill has always wanted to make sure he had a seat at the table once he walked away. So that made it seem like, okay, this dovetails with what Bill's NFL plan often was. This really does start to feel real. The most interesting moment to me, though, was the whole manifesto. Like, he sends over this, like, hundreds of pages of how he wants the program to run. He doesn't want any pushback on it, all this stuff. And someone from the Falcons reached out to me, and I had reported when the Falcons job fell through, I'd reported, look, there are people inside the organization that don't believe, like, they believe Bill wants full power. He'll walk through the door. He's going to be the same old Bill. And after I'd reported that, all of a sudden Bill doesn't get that job, and his media tributaries quickly come out and they're like, Bill didn't want full power. He doesn't want full power. He doesn't want full power. And I kind of went back to the Falcons people at the time and I said, you know, like, what's going on? They're saying he doesn't want full power. You know, and the individuals I was talking to inside the Falcons are like, yeah, sure. Okay. Like, he can say that. It's Bill. Well, the second the manifesto goes over to UNC, immediately I'm getting hit up by people in the Falcons who are like, see, like, we told you, this is who he is. Like, you can say whatever he wants, but the second he comes through your door, it's going to be the same setup as the Patriots. And, you know, so I think that's a big part of this. He can go in, he can do what he wants. It's going to be super fascinating. there is overlap now, I think, between the college game and the NFL game. You could say the NFL, if you want to put it in like the terms that we're familiar with, it's the NFL's 1A and college now is 1AA. They're part of sort of the same system, and they're going to be run very similarly, and we'll see what Bill can do at UNC. It's going to be – I'm wildly fascinated by this whole situation and how this will unfold, and I think it'll be – I'm curious, and I would ask you guys this. How does he recruit? Like, how does he recruit? Like, Fox brought – trotted out Edelman, Julian Edelman, Gronk, and Tom Brady, and they kind of – those guys started clowning him immediately about, like, can you imagine, Bill, sitting in your living room as a high school recruit? And at one point, Tom Brady, he, like, does a Belichick voice, and he's like, yeah, we don't even really want you here, but you can come, and we can find out if you're a good player. And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, this is his, like – three of his greatest players of all time who are like, I don't know how this dude would have recruited me in high school. So I don't know. You guys tell me what you think. It's going to be a wild ride.
Well, a couple of things. You mentioned Steve Belichick. I bet anybody right now he's not the next coach at UNC. There's no way that's contractual. I know some people threw that out there. I mean, it's all going to get FOIA'd. There's no way that's contractual. If it is, UNC is the dumbest school in the history of the planet. But
sure. Yeah.
But, I tell you, man, our friend and your coworker Dan Wetzel, he's big on it. I saw their pie. I read his. I'm like, my God, you got me excited for it. But I just don't. I think it's gonna be bad. Maybe not terrible, but I don't think he's. Yeah, I understand the NFL cachet, but yeah, to your point there, you still have to.
You know, it's butt kissing you got to do to recruit in college football.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Is he gonna do that?
Recruit,
right?
You have to recruit now. You don't. I was sitting there when it finally came down that it was happening, and I don't know why, but in my mind I just thought back to the Deion Sanders being like, I'm coming in my Louis, coming with me. I'm thinking Billy's like, I got my Samsonite in the car. like what is he saying when he's like, because there is an element of the college game where you gotta fire these kids up. You know, you have to be, there's a certain circus element to it. You don't have to be Brian Kelly, you know, dancing and putting out weird videos.
Dude,
players,
we need some of those with Belichick.
Yes,
though,
we do.
Right?
Dancing, yeah, oh my God,
I mean, it's the same thing.
But like, it's a great right? Call. There is definitely an element of that in the college game. And I'm like, where does Bill reach for that? Like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, now clearly, he's in a relationship now where he's reaching younger people.
You had to go there. I wasn't going to go there.
Listen, I'll just say with that, too. You know, I don't – no one's going to talk about it. No one's going to – I mean, it's not going to get trotted out there. But, you know, the NFL, particularly with head coaches, it's still an optics world. It's still – you can and you know, you think about the Bears. You think the McCaskey family, you don't think like Virginia McCaskey, like you don't think they're sitting there going, yeah, okay. Like sure, like this seems like a really totally stable situation in this guy's personal life.
Well, but colleges are huge on that. You know that. Colleges are huge on this guy's married, right? I don't want single guys here on this camp. I mean that's a
Which
thing.
Is part of what makes I think it's part of what makes this so wild, and I think it's part of – I talked to Dan about it yesterday, and Dan Wetzel loves the circus, right? So I'm like, of course, he's going to love this because no matter how it goes, there's going to be a circus-like nature to it.
That's true.
If it succeeds, it's going to open up a whole other sort of dimension of how we look at maybe football, maybe some of the all of a sudden becomes possible to me. NFL coaches go the opposite way because it's more like an NFL system. If it fails spectacularly, we're not going to talk about that.
Charlie Weiss. there's a long list that he'll join, you know?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And I would argue that Weiss was a more charismatic draw to players than Bill is. That's saying something.
Wow.
So. Woo.
Yeah. How about Josh? Let's get Josh McDaniels.
Yeah.
Can we get him going? Yeah. When's he going to be announced as offensive quality control?
Yes.
Well, he, you know, Mike Lombardi being his general manager, there's definitely the quality of you know, putting the getting the band back together. I mean, there's going to be some familiar names without a doubt that end up with him on that staff. But I just, from covering guys that left the nest, knowing people that, you know, have gotten out of the front office, all these different things, they handle their business and their operation. It is, I don't want to look, some guys will just tell you it's joyless. Like, it's joyless. Like, you're there for the grind. You're there to do the job. And if you can't do it, it's a miserable experience. How does that translate to college? Like, is this, I made a joke on the podcast where I'm like, you know, Jason Fitz was asking me, he's like, well, why do you do this? And I'm like, well, Bill's, he wants to coach. He doesn't want to sit out another rotation. He clearly wants to coach. He's always going to be a coach. And then I made the joke about, the end of Blue Chips where Nick Nolte's blown up his entire career. And then, but he's walking by the basketball court and he sees the young kid and he goes, let me show you where to put your hand when you shoot a jump shot. Like, I don't know if that's what we're supposed to think Bill is, but yeah, I mean, I guess there's an element to him that he's going to go in and teach football to young kids. And maybe that's the draw. I've heard the opinion of like, well, if I'm a parent, I now want my kid to go and play for Belichick because it's Bill Belichick. And I don't know, man. I don't know.
Maybe, but yeah, you know, like, I mean, the Ohio State and, you know, Georgia, they send guys to the NFL, and, you know, I guess I shouldn't maybe use Ohio State because he's, you know, might be in trouble too. But you know, like, there's a lot more.
What happens when you send your, okay, let's say you send your five-star, you know, quarterback, right? What happens when that kid calls and says, Bill, you know, coach hasn't talked to me in 3 weeks. Like, coach won't look at me. Coach won't, you know, what happens when these things that Bill would subject people to on the NFL level, where he would literally walk by people in the hallway and not look at them, not acknowledge their existence, and it really bothered them. What are you going to do when it's like kids?
I will say, like, you know, it's funny you say that, but that was the whole Saban thing with the Dolphins, right? People were actually told, like, do not speak to Coach Saban unless he speaks to you first, and he did okay in college, but yeah, you know. But it's a fair point. It's going to be fascinating.
I would argue that Nick is a more charismatic guy than Bill.
And you and I know Nick, that charisma when well.
When you and I covered Nick, remember when he used to try to open each press conference with like a joke who clearly someone else wrote for him? And we would just be like,
some real bangers.
Yes, awful comedic timing. We're like, okay. So, I love, by the way, I want to say, how is Nick graying when we covered him 24 years ago? Yeah. He's maintained that luscious.
No, I mean, he's actually, like, gone backward physically, like, 20 years younger than when we covered him.
It's God, the glasses. Remember, he used to have the glasses.
Oh, yeah.
Glasses.
Yeah, he's like a 63-year-old man, and now. Yeah.
Chit out on the Marlboros a little
Benjamin
bit.
Benjamin Buttons situation.
So, Charles, the Eagles, 11-2, are sitting in a really good spot in the NFC. And yet, A.J. Brown's stirring some things up this week.
Yeah.
When asked what's wrong with the offense, he said, passing. You had Brandon Graham get out there and talk about his and Jalen Hurts' relationship that they had to come out and try to squash yesterday. What do you make of the drama with the Philadelphia Eagles right now?
Well, and the interesting thing with AJ, there was really, it was a minute-long exchange with reporters that everybody saw the clip where he just said passing, but it went beyond that. They kept, you know, at one point, someone asked, like, how difficult is it to get into a rhythm if you're only passing the ball 20 times a game or whatever? And I think he said something like extremely difficult. And then at one point, a reporter asked him, what are the conversations like with Jalen on the sidelines? And he was like, there are no conversations. I don't know. And I was like, okay. I'm like, this is it was much more than just the whole passing thing. Like, he was shading hard. And yeah, it's, you're 11-2. Like, you're 11-2 and what's crazy to me is when you look at what they did, clearly during the bye week, they changed. They were like, all right, Jalen's turned the ball over 7 times in 4 games. We're 2-2. He's throwing it 33 times a game. We have to retool this and figure this out. We have a great line. We have a running back who we think a lot of, you know, obviously it's now in the MVP conversation. So So what they did was he went from averaging 33 passes a game, goes in the bye, comes out. Since then, he's averaged 21 passes a game. So that's 12 passes, 12 targets that are disappearing, vanishing. And then they slid more into, okay, we're going to count more on Saquon in the running game. We're going to count more on Jalen in the running game. We're probably going to produce fewer offensive plays in total. And so someone's going to sacrifice. That ends up being the wide receivers, both Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. And while I know they're upset about it, you're 9-0 since you made the change. And I do think that in that locker room with some of those offensive players, they look at like Detroit and they go, wait a minute, they can run the football, but they're also like everybody on offense is eating in Detroit. They look at Baltimore. They're like, hey, everybody on offense is eating in Baltimore. The difference is Detroit's defense stinks. They're beat to hell. Like, and then you look at Baltimore, same issue. Like they've got defensive problems. They have to boat race. The offenses have to boat race to win games. The Eagles are holding the defense. I think it's like 15 points a game during the 9-game win streak. The Eagles defense is playing good. You can play the way that they're playing, beat teams handily, and look like one of the best teams in the NFC. So it's nonsensical. It was a foolish moment. I think everybody around it has handled it the best they can, apart from Brandon Graham, who, if I had picked someone before this happened, someone said, hey, who is going to defuse this? I would have been like, Brandon Graham will. It was totally the opposite. Brandon Graham was like, Brandon, here's a fire. And he's like, well, here's a hand grenade that I'm going to throw in the fire.
They actually hate each other.
I wish they were friends. Like, oh, well.
And I always love the janitorial staff that shows up afterward after something like that, because then Sirianni comes out and he's like, I see them praying together. And then like, I see them eating together in the cafeteria. And then Brandon Graham comes out and he's like, oh, I didn't know what I was talking about. Like, no, man, your first words are usually the most accurate ones. And then when it, you know, goes sideways and you come out and try to clean it up later, that's the stuff I don't trust. So, yeah, not great. I would bet the over on targets for A.J. Brown in the next game. Like, I will throw eight receiver screens
and just, there you go.
Yeah. I'm certain he will get the first pass of the game, and I will bet you he has probably a season-high number of targets in the next game. That's what usually happens. I wouldn't be surprised if that's what happens in this game.
Maybe they can do like a throwback, and he can throw into her, throw a hospital ball at her. So everybody feel better about it. Everybody,
I'll show you.
Stop it.
Hey, speaking of cleaning things up, there's a segue. So everybody here, of course, is mad about, well, everything, Charles, with this 3-10 Tennessee Titans team. But I think in particular, we've talked today about ownership, Amy Adams Strunk. We've talked with you about it before, too. But I made a comparison earlier about, you got the Jerry Jones dynamic, which is like no other owner, which is just like, my God, please stop talking about everything all the time. And there's varying degrees of that. But Amy Adams Strunk has not participated in any sort of actual question and answer session with an assembled media group here, and I believe we're going on 6 years. And when the product is this bad, to me, the product is this bad, and you just got the largest amount of public money ever for a stadium. To me, maybe you need to rethink things a little bit. But help me put it into context for me. Owners in the NFL being willing to do anything, beyond like their own website.
It is rare to go that long without really having any. I mean, that's Paul Allen when he was alive spoke to Paul Allen was one of the richest people in the world, and yet would speak to the media. It wasn't like it was not like a Jerry situation. It wasn't Paul Allen's not going to be out there when they would make a major move or sign this person or fire that person, but. He would show up and talk to the media, and he was accessible at times when the franchise knew that was the right thing to do. And they had two strong people in place in John Schneider and Pete Carroll. And yet, Paul was still on the radar. I don't think, David Tepper, there are different types of owners. Like there are owners that are extremely rich and wealthy and want to be in the mix. Tepper, Jerry Jones, and then there are others, Stan Kroenke is probably more reserved, and yet he does talk to the media. You know, you won't go 2 years without Stan Kroenke talking to the media. So this situation is rare, and I understand fans being upset. And I think a bigger part of the story, too, as the stadium stuff rolls forward, fans are going to get absolutely shell-shocked out of their minds about the whole PSL thing, how much tickets are now going to cost in a real-world way, because you're going to have people are sitting there going, okay, I have to pay tens of thousands of dollars to keep the tickets that I have right now. That's what this is going to look like going forward. You're going to have people from the ticket office who I always thought this was entertaining. So when the Patriots were doing really well, people from the ticket office would call and be like, okay, you have these season tickets. If you want to renew, they're going to get hiked. You're going to pay $30,000, you know, $25,000 for these season tickets, but we'll give you an opportunity to purchase Super Bowl tickets at X amount down the line, and we'll put you on a payment plan. Like, it becomes it's crazy. Like, it's completely wild. And I think that's what fans are going to experience. If an owner puts a fan base through that, you better be accessible. You better be accessible. And you're going to be hated. If you roll out a new stadium and fans are eyeballs deep in debt to watch a 3-10 team, you're going to be hated. That's the bottom line. So I think Amy Adams Strunk has to decide, do I want to be hated by my fan base? Because it'll get there fast. If it's not already there now, the combination of bad football and a lot of money to see the bad football and having no confidence that the bad football is going to be changed, that will lead to a pure hatred of an owner. That'll transform really, really quickly. You might think it's bad now. Just wait. Just wait until you have Titans fans going, I can't buy season tickets, nor do I want to anymore. And this owner is, I don't want to be involved with the team until this owner's gone, because she doesn't know what she's doing and she's not held accountable in any way. She doesn't make herself available to be asked hard questions. It'll turn to hatred. And I hope that, you know, she understands that. I've seen that happen with, you know, Mark Davis makes himself available and Raiders fans, it's turned into a hatred because he doesn't seem to know what he's doing.
Well, that's kind of my next question is like, so, okay, so if you're her and considering all this stuff, what's the upside? Because we all agree she absolutely needs to be accountable. What is the upside? Is there an upside if you are made available, if you make yourself available and you at least have that level of public accountability, if the other things stay the same?
What's the upside?
That's a deep side.
I mean, I the upside is
you're not making a case.
Okay, well, the upside is it takes away the argument that you don't make yourself available to be held accountable. So at least that's off the table. If you're willing to go out there and take the arrows and not roll out your general manager to be your flak jacket or your team president to be your flak jacket or make someone else go out there and get absolutely hammered, at least if you're out there taking the difficult questions, be prepared. Know how to answer the questions. You better be on your P's and Q's when you get asked these things, and you can't look like a buffoon. Like, that's obviously makes it worse, and that's completely cancels out the accountability aspect. If you just go out there and you look like you don't know what you're doing, you can't answer questions.
Are we talking about Mark Davis again? Is that what we're not mentioning anyone, but yeah, I gotcha.
It's not great when you get an owner up there and you're like, this person clearly does not know what they're doing. They don't grasp. There's no real answers here. They don't seem sharp when it comes to the plan. If you're going to do it, be as prepared as possible. But that's the upside. It takes away this person's hiding. They want my money. They're giving me a crap product. They're hiding. It's a cowardly. You look cowardly. You do. You look like you're running a corporation. It's cold. It's calculated. It's, you know, it's a very discernible feeling that develops in fan bases, and you can disarm some of that by going out and not only making yourself available, you know, and accountable, being able to say, you know what, I made some mistakes like that. Like, fan bases love hearing coaches, owners, general managers going, you know what, made some mistakes. I'm going to own up to it. I owe the fan base better than this. We're going to do better. And I'm gonna take some of that on my shoulders because I could have done this better, that better. We're gonna get there. I think that helps. But when you just disappear and the media is like, well, we don't ever have a chance to really put this person, you know, to the test. Fans notice that, and it's horrible. Like the Dan Snyder, there was a whole multitude of other stuff with Dan. It was a million things with Dan Snyder, but I can tell you things that made it worse and worse and worse as Dan Snyder went on was the fact that he would not stand up in front of the media and talk to the media and actually take hard questions. That is the most infuriating thing possible for the fan base. And if we're being real, also the reporters who are sitting there going, we're trying to get the questions answered. This person won't do it. And I think that comes out in the coverage of the team eventually.
Charles, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us today on the program, and we will talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Take care.
Yep, Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road. Lots to react to there from Charles. We'll do that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Got some tickets to give away to the Transperfect Music City Bowl at Nissan Stadium on Monday, December 30th. Be caller 5-615-737-1025. The Transperfect Music City Bowl coming up on December 30th. Missouri taking on Iowa. Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Robbie, man. So Charles triggered me a little bit, man, because he's talking about the experience that we're going through with these tickets right now, like all the decisions people have to make. I had my Titans house thing yesterday, and I don't know if people have talked to you about this, but it's not great. Like they're not doing good with this. It's not, I don't know if it's, maybe it's the time of the year. Like you just care about other things. That's not football, especially if your team sucks. But if you remember in Buddy the Elf, where he goes to the Empire State Building to see his dad, and you see the two guys in the suits up front. That's what it feels like when you walk in there. They've rented this office space, and like it's an icky feeling, man. It's like you could tell they got money, but you also don't really quite feel welcome. And I don't know what it is, man. But I walked away, me and my wife both, because we had to pay to park. Like it was a whole thing. And when we walked away, we were like, "Do we even want to do this?" Like, when you sit down and you, like, bank it out, you're like, okay, we can afford it, but could we afford to put the money somewhere else? Hell yeah. Like, I don't know, dude. And when you start seeing Titans logos on stuff, you're like, dude, I don't even want to see them right now. I don't know. It's almost like an ex, you know? Like, I don't want to look at you right now. You done jaded me, man. Like, I don't even want to talk about this. So when he talks about Amy's availability and, like, my feeling with the team right now, something's got to change because I'm not feeling it. And they want me to spend a lot of money, and I'm just not feeling it right now. That's where I'm at.
Yep. Thanks for the call, Adam. Appreciate it.
So, wait. Is your ex icky? Icky feeling. That's not a great endorsement. Yo, yesterday we had different thoughts that it was good.
Yeah.
But the product and all the things that go together, you got to think that some people are thinking a little bit differently about it. I do. I think PK is probably right that, like, they're going to sell?
I think there is going to be a natural curiosity with the new stadium that people are going to want to get in there and check it out. And it's more than just the Titans games. It's the future events that could be coming. It's concerts. It's all that. Now, I think strictly from a football perspective, that'll last a little while. And then it gets pretty primarily into, okay, so how good are you? Yeah. Like, you're asking me to spend all this money. The new stadium's cool, but I've seen it. So how good are you?
Yeah.
I think you can live off that for a little while, not very long, if you're the Titans.
And, of course, again, there's a cyclical nature to the NFL that it's hard to not cycle up and down.
Sure.
So by 2027, who knows? You know, they could be the surprise team in the league.
And I mean, Nico could be out there slinging it.
Exactly. Well, there could be 20 guys that we have no idea will be on this team that are all key players on that team. You know, you don't know, but – right now they're trying to sell, and there's –
Hendon Hooker could be on his third all-pro season.
I should have put him in the quarterback thing yesterday, by the way.
You should have.
I don't know why. But he's obviously the best of the bunch, so no need. But, no, look, there's a lot. We could spend a lot of time with a lot of the stuff we just talked about with Charles. But that was a pretty – That's what I would like that. We've talked about before. I always say I'd like it, and then I don't actually like go find out. But I would like a breakdown of ownership in the NFL and frequency. You know, check these boxes. Do you actually have a press conference? Do you just, like, do a video with, like, the team website like she did with the last moves? Again, she did do the interview with Teresa Walker, which is better than that, right? But it's still not standing in front of people and just, okay, here, what are your questions? Now, how many owners do that? I mean, Charles made it sound like a lot of them at least do it some.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I thought, too. Like, there aren't many who are completely reclusive. And this is she
those
really
are strong words by Charles there, yes, as to what that could lead to. Yeah, I mean,
yes,
but I don't know that he's wrong either. Like, when you factor in the new stadium, the cost, all that stuff, and you're looking around and you're seeing the product that's on the field. And again, you're right. You know, 3 years from now, who knows what this football team is going to look like? 3 years ago, I made this point yesterday. 3 years ago, they're the number one seed in the AFC, and now they're this. So that kind of goes
feels
to tell
30
you,
years ago.
Yeah, like that right. goes to show you how much things can change between now and then. But, like, particularly if ticket prices are what they are, you got a new stadium, you know, you're being asked to pay all this money if you're a fan, and the product is this, and then, like, you never hear any sort of accountability from the owner. It's not a good combo.
The new stadium changes the math on it. And it, even without it, you have to, from time to time, make yourself available. But the new stadium should – everybody there, whoever is courageous enough to tell her something, should be saying that. Like, you know, like let's keep in perspective what has happened here and what has happened. Because, look, owning an NFL franchise, it is a very, very good deal for you right now. Well, anybody who owns an NFL franchise, you look at the valuations and where they – I mean, it's a very, very good thing.
The one thing I'll say about Amy Armstrong, at least she is very nice. She's got a good, normal head of hair on her shoulders, unlike Mark Davis, who has got the bowl cut wandering around out there and is still a big problem as an owner. But at least Brady's coming in. So
I was wondering where you're going with the hair.
Well, the bowl cut for Mark Davis is one of the most amazing things I've ever seen.
He seems to really lean into it.
He really does.
It's kind of like Anthony Davis used to lean into the unibrow.
It's like, wow, you're worth billions of dollars, and you get somebody's – you can just go in a kitchen somewhere and get that bowl over your head and say, just snip away.
What if Mark Davis had just like a, you know, I guess like, for lack of a better term, like a regular haircut?
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to imagine.
Would he be like a dashing, you know,
movie Google
star?
I just Google search Mark Davis bowl cut, and like the different variations of this bowl cut are unbelievable. Like, it's crazy. It's beautiful. So at least you got that going
for
you.
We could bring him into the program today. Yes. Good old Mark Davis.
We'll have Preds Pick the Click coming up next. We'll take the first caller, 615-737-1025. If you guess the goal scorer for the Preds tonight, you win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that, give our final thoughts on the program coming up next. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, Derek Mason downtown at JBJ's Nashville this Sunday for the pregame show, 9:30 to 11:30. They'll break down the Week 15 matchup against the Bengals, give you the latest updates before the game. Pregame show presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Sundeck Nashville, Sloan's Motorcycle ATV, and award-winning Blue Note Juke Joint and Blue Note Crossroads Bourbon. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
It's time for Preds Picks to Click.
And the shot of the score.
Do you think you know who will score a goal in tonight's Predators game?
It'll give and go.
Shoot your shot for a chance to win Preds tickets. Call 615-737-1025 now. It's Pick to Click, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is that time of the day. Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Preds in action taking on the Stars tonight. 7 o'clock puck drop, pregame at 6 here on 102.5, 106.3, the game. A standings change, not in order, but in terms of correct guesses. Joe Rexer remains at first with 5 correct answers. I did score last time out. I picked John Marceau. He scored twice. So I'm up to 3 correct answers. Getting closer. The listeners and Nick Keiser remain at 2. With that in mind, we go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in JT to the program. JT, thank you for calling in. Who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
Anybody?
Well, that would be nice.
I mean, geez. I'm gonna say our boy Phil Forsberg tonight.
Okay. Going with Forsberg. JT, appreciate the call. It's been a minute since Forsberg has found the back of the net. Needs to good game last time out, had 2 assists, but needs to find the back of the net.
Light the lamp.
You're up first. Forsberg off the board. Your pick to click.
All right. Well, I guess I won't say no one again. That didn't work.
It didn't.
Motivated him. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go with the guy who maybe is going to go on a heater. How about some Marchessault?
There we go. Jonathan Marchessault, the selection. Forsberg, Marchessault off the board. Nick Kieser, your pick to click.
I'm going to go with Fedor Svechkov.
There you go.
Goal number two.
Three.
It would be. Oh, he has two now?
Yeah, he's got two.
Yeah, two now. My bad.
So Forsberg.
That would be 50% more. Or 33% more. Which one?
We still need to figure that out.
Yeah.
Forsberg, Marchessault, Svechkov off the board. I'll go Stamkos. I have pretty good confidence he's going to play. Nyquist was sick last time out, so I don't know. Yossi, I have no idea if he's playing. I'm going Stamkos.
Yeah.
I'm going Stamkos.
Running out of possibilities.
Forsberg, Marchessault, Svechkov, Stamkos. The selections tonight. We'll see what the Preds have in their game tonight against the Dallas Stars. Joe, your final thoughts on the Charles Robinson take on Titans ownership, the lack of accountability that we've seen. People, the Gentry Estes column that you referenced earlier at the Tennessee and making the rounds on social media right now. Your final thoughts as we wrap up the program today.
Yeah, I'd advise people to read it. I think it sums it up well, the frustration with ownership. And look, I think obviously if a move is made, there's no excuse. You have to address it, right? Unlike last year when Rand gets thrown out there and, you know, hey, great, let's ask Rand about this situation. That was a really bad job of the Titans. But to me, even if they don't do anything, now I know some people would be like, actually, if they don't, I even want more to hear about it. But I mean, look, if you're looking at it logically, if you're an owner, you'd be like, well, we haven't made any changes to personnel. Why do I need to have a press conference? I still would strongly suggest to do it either way. At some point in this offseason.
Is it really that hard to do it like once a year? Once a year.
It should be.
At the end of the year.
Like that should be like an obvious thing that you have. I know the NFL has its calendar, that certain things that they mandate. This is not one of them.
Right.
But this is one of those things with your organization that you should absolutely – I mean, to me, once a year is a little light, but at least –
I mean, at this point, I'd take that.
Sure.
Though. Yeah.
Of course. So, yeah, we'll see if she's listening, if she's hearing this, if she's reading this, if she's getting this from her people. But, you can't get the benefits that she's gotten and keep getting away with not ever actually addressing the people who are lining your pockets.
Right. The Bill Belichick era begins today in North Carolina. Press conference coming up at 2 o'clock. I'll be fascinated to see what that looks like. Does he go back into – yeah. I imagine he won't today. Like, today he'll have some energy to him.
We're on to final exam.
Yeah, exactly. But, like –
we're on to spring ball.
Is he going to turn back into, like, the just the old curmudgeon out there again? Or is, like, what we saw on TV more of what he's going to be at the college football level?
You know, I'm trying to even remember – we think of Belichick – late, and it got so
it was brutal.
But yeah, was he always like that? Like, was he like that as a younger person? I don't really remember.
I don't know.
I mean, all the stuff happened with the Jets and everything. He needs to understand, like, when he's been out here doing all this stuff, people have enjoyed it. It's been great. Bring that guy to the presser today, because you know what? You are now trying to sell people to come play. Just being an NFL guy is not enough. So let's see that personality.
Interested to see the way that shakes out. Fun show today. Appreciate everybody weighing in today on the program. We'll be back at it 6 a.m. tomorrow. Chasing Big Joe is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Now that Wendy's has these new biggie deals, everyone in the family can get what they're craving, from Nugs to JBCs. The parental units can get an $8 biggie bundle, the eldest who think they're so grown can get a $6 biggie bag, and the little one who can do no wrong can get a $4 biggie bites. You know, assuming they have a credit card. No, I'm kidding. We take cash too. $4, $6, and $8 biggie deals for the whole family. Only at Wendy's.
Price and participation may vary. Single items at regular price. Prices may be higher in Alaska, California, and Hawaii.